Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to Wild 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 Cards. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and here is your contractually mandated intro music. Those are Ross Watson's fastest hounds. You might be hearing in the background.
They're a little rambunctious tonight.
It's a snowy day in Colorado. They probably didn't get their dog park tonight. Ross, if you don't mind, I'm going to mute you for a second, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. Today, we have Paul Vincent from Table Cat Games. Paul, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And you are running a Savage Wolves Kickstarter right now for a game setting called Street Wolves. And we've got a little tiny URL. People can find your Kickstarter super easy. tinyurl.com/streetwolvesrpg takes into the Kickstarter. They have 10 days left, and you are just kicking ass over there. You've got 12.5 out of an original goal that was, I want to say...
Three.
Wow. So, yeah, just several times over. I'm guessing you're smashing up stretch goals.
They're all taken care of. They were taken care of, I think, like 3-4 days in, something like that. So,
okay,
I didn't have to worry about it.
We're in the everything is gravy stage of the campaign.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we're kind of in the doldrums right now. Everyone talks about the middle of a Kickstarter campaign being very slow, and that's entirely true. Mm-hmm. I expect it to pick up again in the last like 72 to 48 hours. So.
Yeah, you usually have that big spike in the middle, and then you've got a slightly smaller spike at the end, and then there's that big middle where nothing happens.
So, yeah.
So,
well, I can say this as a Savage Worlds fan. I'm very excited to see what happens with Street Wolves. I'm already a backer. I'm a turbo print backer, and I've got the cassette USB, so I'm really excited.
Those are good choices. I would recommend them both.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, one of the cool things about this Kickstarter is there is an actual USB like drive that comes with a bunch of the PDFs and things, and it looks like an 80s cassette, which is just badass. Look, he's holding it up right now. For anybody who's watching, you can see it. It's beautiful.
And then I open it up and take it out. So,
look at that. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
It's one of the best ideas I've ever had.
What all was on there? I've never even seen something like that before. That's really
well,
cool.
I'm going to put the core book on it in the PDF, and the music that's going to come with the campaign is going to be on there, and there's probably going to be some digital extra goodies things that I think of just to put on there that might be fun, like, I don't know, like Zoom backgrounds or, you know, desktop backgrounds or maybe some VTT assets. I'm not sure yet, but...
So you guys have completely embraced the VTT stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I started using Foundry, and then since I was using it, then I made a Foundry module for Street Wolves. So I'm going to keep updating it because I use it. It's my primary way to play it. But I also want a cool book too, so that's why I'm doing the Kickstarter for the book. But yeah, I'm big into the VTT stuff right now.
Honestly, the only thing I wish was in there was some sort of soundtrack, like a new retro wave collection of songs. Maybe you could even do like a curated, like go listen to these tracks list for your, you don't have to like get the actual music, but
well,
here are the songs I would like you to listen to.
Well, so in the Foundry module, I do have some synthwave songs that are built into it that are like copyright free, essentially, you know, like you could just use them. But with the Kickstarter, we've unlocked custom songs from Jay, who's a composer, touring musician, very talented person. And so there will be custom music tracks that will be on the USB and then also like in the VTT eventually and through
That's
various
awesome.
Other ways. But in the core book, I do have an extensive section that talks about movies and TV and music and like songs that are, you know, what you might want to check out.
Can we touch on some of that? Just it occurs to me, we've been talking about Street Wolves for a few minutes here, but if someone was a newbie just off the street tuning in, they'd be like, what is a Street Wolves? Maybe we should give them a little taste.
Yeah, of I was just thinking we need to talk to him about what is Street Wolves? What is it like? What do you do?
Well, okay, so the most accurate description I could say is it's a setting that takes place in the late 1980s featuring investigators on the edge uncovering evil in the neon shadows. So it's very much inspired by like retro synthwave music and 80s pop culture, shows like Miami Vice and movies like Drive. So yeah, you generally play like an investigator who's working outside the law, and you're, you know, just taking care of business. There's conspiracies and evil cults and corporations and all that kind of stuff that you want to take down.
So if I want to run a Baywatch Nights campaign, this is maybe the best Savage World setting for that.
Well,
oh no, not Baywatch Nights.
There's no real supernatural built into this, but because Savage Worlds is so like compatible with each other that you could probably take this and then grab like the horror companion and then, you know, suddenly you're fighting vampires and whatever. And in the future, I would like to do an expansion called Street Wolves Malibu that takes place in California and has more of those like 90s type vibes to it. So that's one to look forward to in the future.
I guess your Baywatch is very 90s and what we're talking about is very 80s. So yeah,
but it kind of bleeds over. I mean, I have some 90s influences in Street Wolves. So it, because Street Wolves is almost like technologically maybe early to mid 90s, even though it's set in the late 80s, because it's kind of like an alternative 1980s essentially.
Could you walk us through like a typical adventure in Street Wolves, like what, how that would go?
Okay, so the way I run them is different than other people run it. Some other people might have it like very over the top 80s action type stuff, like A-Team or whatever. The way I tend to run it is there's a lot of investigation leading to like a discovery or a bad guy. So this last one, that might be a bad example. Well, the last one I had the players essentially try to make a contact with a cartel member. So they attended a party and then schmoozed their way into talking to this guy while another, the team split into two. And the other part of the team went to this cartel guy's warehouse and blew up his drug lab. So then he would have to work with them, you know, under the guise of like, they had just introduced themselves into the party. It's like, hey, we're here for services to help you sell drugs. And then, you know, secretly they destroyed his lab. So it's just that kind of stuff is like, you know, very 1980s cop TV show kind of stuff is what I...
Are the characters actually cops? Are they vigilantes? What are we looking at?
They're basically vigilantes. The way I have it set up is they work for an organization that's called Wolfpack, and Wolfpack gives them their like missions and stuff. But I do offer suggestions in the core book where you can set it up kind of like Knight Rider, where they're working for like a rich patron that, you know, is giving them their missions, or you can set it up like they're a corporation, or you can set it up like that they're just free roaming around doing whatever they want. But the primary setting is that they're working for this secret organization known as Wolfpack that, you know, supports them and sends them on their missions.
Can you tell us about the vapor? Vapor is something interesting. I noticed there's like a one sentence about it. And I'm really curious to hear more about this.
Okay. So vapor is essentially, it kind of solved a few things for me while I was making the setting. And one of those things was, why does synthwave art and aesthetics have all these like vibrant colors all the time? And so in my mind, it was that there were cities in the world of Street Wolves that there was some catastrophe where there's these explosions and there's this weird stuff in the sky that makes like lights trail and causes glowing colors and that sort of stuff. So that explains like the colors in the art. But then some people, even though, you know, the government says it's all fine, don't worry about it, it's nothing, you know, it's okay for your health. Some people get essentially special powers from it. And those special powers have certain drawbacks, which basically makes you a target for some of the organizations within the world of Street Wolves who, like, they, like the Soviets, for example, are still going really strong in 87 in Street Wolves. None of their cities had vapor, so they're very interested in finding individuals that have been affected by it and maybe recruiting them or experimenting on them. There's a cult that's obsessed with that stuff, so they're going to want to try to recruit anybody with that power. And then it also can kind of feel, if you want to get, like, I run it a lot more grounded, but if you wanted to get a little more weird sciencey and stuff, that's an avenue to go, oh, there's this weapon that's powered by this stuff. So it's essentially there to, like, if you want to have, like, people with powers in your game, or you want to make it a little more weird science or that sort of thing, it's there for you.
I'm struggling because there's the weird science arcane background and there's the weird science 80s film. And I'm like, it could be both. It could be either.
Well, in Street Wolves, so the way I've organized it, and like, this is just the way I do it. You know, like I say, you can mix and match anything from Savage Worlds books that you want. But in Street Wolves vanilla, there's no weird science backgrounds. Essentially, weird science is something that the bad guys can use because they have the funding to, like, have a lab that can create crazy things. So there's no, like, weird scientist Street Wolf running around with, like, weird gadgets and stuff, essentially. So
can you tell us a little bit about the vibes or the tone of the game? I see the word noir in the write-up for the Kickstarter.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit darker than some people might think. Like, 80s stuff is, like, colorful and over the top. There are some of those elements in it, but Street Wolves has, like, some grounding in noir where, like, the characters struggle against, essentially there's a mechanic called Drive, where if they're indiscriminately killing people, or if they fail to stop the bad guys, or this is a number of things that they may take hits to their drive. And once they get low enough, they can risk going over the edge, essentially, like in that cop thing where, you know, oh, he's gone, you know, beyond the pale. Now he's like a, you know, like, sometimes they become like hotheads that just dispense justice, or you can become addicted to something. And it's not to say that you would lose that character. Essentially, you could also tell a story of redemption of, like, okay, they've gone over the edge, but now I want to work with my character to try to bring them back. And then, you know, there's some built-in mechanics for that too. So
you're a loose cannon, McClane.
Yeah.
Give me, like, your badge and your gun.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to, like, kind of get them back into the fold after that point when they start losing it. So,
is drive a setting rule?
Yes. Yeah. It's a setting rule. It's a modified sanity kind of thing. So instead of sanity, they don't go crazy or anything like that. It's just kind of like wears at the morale over time, or, you know, it can. So, but like I said, like, you take that, you make a drive check if you kill somebody, because it's, violence is inherently, like, very difficult to commit violence and be a part of that world. So, you know, or if the bad guy gets away, you'd take a drive check, right? Because it's like, ugh, we failed, essentially. So,
to quote a famous 80s song, you're pushing it to the limit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I wanted to capture a lot of that kind of feeling of, I mentioned Miami Vice, where, you know, there's a lot of jokes and stuff in around Miami Vice, like, oh, it's kind of funny, they're wearing these pastel colors and stuff. But there's also a lot of seriousness to it, where the cops are absolutely grounded down over time by all these horrible things that happen to them. And, like, there's a couple times where Sonny just, like, really goes over the edge. Like, he just, like, one scene, spoiler for, like, a 40-year-old show, he, like, just shoots one of the bad guys that killed his wife. So I wanted to reflect that sort of thing, where it's like, if you play a long enough campaign, your character may just be like, screw this, I'm just going to do whatever I want, you know, that kind of stuff. So
there's a little bit of Lethal Weapon in there.
Yeah, there you go. That kind of thing too, because he had a really bad time too. Murtaug? No, which
just
one?
Been revoked.
No, Murtaug was the guy who said he was too old for this shit.
Okay, even. Okay. Riggs, then, right?
He's also the one that killed the
Deputy. Yeah, Riggs.
To be clear.
Yeah.
But Riggs was the crazy one.
Yeah.
Well, which, so, you know, with Vapor, if I wanted to do like a Miami Vice or Lethal Weapon, Stranger Things crossover.
Yeah, you could, you know, like, when a character has that those Vapor powers, they suddenly become, you know, they come pretty powerful because they have, you know, a bunch of powers available to them that other characters don't. But it does have those downsides, like it's more powerful at night, it's more powerful in the city, like there's penalties for trying to activate it during the day or outside the city. You can get edges that that allow you to access powers at all hours, you know, like as you advance, but it's mostly like I kind of think of it almost as like a hybrid between your sort of like a vampire, you know, you're not undead and sucking blood and stuff, but you're sensitive to sunlight. There's some drawbacks there, and kind of like an X-Men, you know, like people fear and hate you, or they could fear and hate you if they find out what you are, kind of a thing.
Is Vapor a big part of the story? Are the characters expected to be investigating what it is, where it came from?
You can. It's just there if you want it to be. It's not like a sole focus. It's just one of the many things that is in the toolbox that you can use to explore. Like, I've run it quite a bit because, you know, I made it and I like running it. And I haven't really explored it a whole lot. It's become a pretty big focal point for... I ran like a mini campaign where there was a cult, the cult that worships it. And that was a pretty big deal because they were like kidnapping people and running experiments on them that were Vapor related. But, you know, it's just if that's something, if you want to explore, you can do it. If you want to do other things, you can. So.
Sweet. Well, congrats on a very successful Kickstarter. I wanted to mention to folks, if you're not watching us on video, I got a banner on the bottom that says this information, but there's a jump start you can get right now for free. tinyurl.com/streetwolvesjump. You can check it out. Get a little taste of the system. So Paul, once again, congrats. I mean, you've done really well. Can I ask you, you know, what are some of your secrets for marketing, getting the word out on this?
Well, the first thing was, I had to be a nice person and connect with people and be genuine and not try to shove my like stuff down into their faces, you know, all the time. And it's just building up relationships essentially. And then over time, you know, you get to know people and they want to share your thing and, you know, you grow together, you know, other creators will, you know, see what you're doing and they'll help support you. A big part of this was I had released Street Wolves last year as just a PDF. But I wanted to get a print edition, so that's what the Turbo version is. Primarily, it was to get it in print. So because I had released Street Wolves earlier and the Jumpstart and the archetypes, people saw what I was doing and liked it. And so I kind of built up, you know, I don't want to say a fan base or anything, like just people that were interested in my stuff. So then by the time I was ready to do this big Kickstarter, then there was already that interest there. Like there were people that had done APs of the original Street Wolves. You know, there's people I talked to about it. And it was just kind of building it up to the point where by the time I could launch the pre-launch page, I'd start getting signups. And then I'd try to drive people towards that as much as I could. I could get really deep into this and it's super boring, but... essentially, it's just, you know, over time, getting to know people and just showing them like cool stuff, part of it, and getting them on board.
I think you should do a big shout out to Curtis Squarebriggs, the artist for your covers, because those look really good. And whoever designed that logo, it's fire.
Which logo?
The Street Wolves logo.
That was me then.
It's fire.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, Curtis is awesome. I got really lucky. I talked to him through a Discord of like, I'm friends with people and he just happened to be in that Discord and we worked together and we created the cover. And yeah, I'm very happy with it. It's awesome. And then, yeah, I've done all the layout and everything else besides art. Like there's some other logos that are in game that other people design, but you know, I did the Street Wolves one. So,
yeah, it looks, all your art looks really good. So yeah.
Yeah, I have a good stable of artists. I'd start naming them, but I'd forget people's names and they'd be very upset. My brain is a little bit frazzled from the month of Kickstartering and pushing and all that stuff. So you're getting me at a low level right now. But yeah, I've been very lucky to work with the people I've been working with, and they're awesome. And I'm really happy to get them back on board for the Turbo Edition. So there's a lot of art in the book that is stock art that I wanted to replace. And because we've met the goal and then exceeded it, I'm replacing at least 40, 45 pieces of art. And then I might be actually adding more. So thank you to everyone who's backed it. We're going to get a lot more cool custom art.
It looks really sweet. Now, if people want to check out the Jumpstart, can you tell us like a little bit about what they'll find inside the starter adventure?
The Jumpstart is very basic, but it has a lot of stuff. So it's just kind of like a taste test of almost everything that's in the book. And the starter adventure, I'm trying to think, is I get the two conflated, which one comes with which. If it's the starter adventure is actually the, let me double check. I'm going to look at the book, which I have open right now. Just want to make sure I'm not going to say it's the wrong one. Okay, so yeah, the starter adventure that comes with the Jumpstart is actually a little bit meaty. It's the Street Wolves hit the scene and they have to find a missing cohort or another Street Wolf that's gone rogue. And so it kind of like leads them through kind of the seedy underbelly of the Miami crime cartels and this war that's happening between the main faction and the cartels. And they have to decide who they're going to work with and that sort of thing. So
this rogue Street Wolf is kind of an example of what happens when drive gets too far.
Yeah, exactly. Because the backstory, spoilers for anybody who may want to play it, the backstory is that his group, like previous to the players, suffered, like they were attacked or ambushed. And there was only him and another Street Wolf of his group survived. So that really turned him. And then he went rogue and he started doing bad things. So.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about you and Table Cat Games, where would they go?
I'm like Table Cat Games on most social media platforms or P Vincent, something like that. But you can, the home base basically is if you want to go to tablecatgames.com, I have links to almost everything there. I should blog there more often, but it's just, I only have so much time, but it's a good source to just kind of get an idea of like what games I have, what's coming up, where you can find me on social media and all that stuff.
Powered by Synthwave. Go check it out. Street Wolves is coming soon and it's kickstarting right now. It's doing great. So definitely go check it out and see if you want to back it.
Yeah, once again, tinyurl.com/streetwolvesrpg. You got 10 days left. Smashed all the stretch goals. There's a lot of extra stuff included. So this
yeah, if you get in on that, even just the PDF tier, you get two adventures and then the campaign for free in electronic form. So that's not, they're not going to come with it when it's the Kickstarter's over. So
Kickstarter exclusives. So yeah. Got a week and a half left, folks. Get on it. Paul, been a pleasure talking to you. Any closing thoughts before we wrap it up?
No. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I hope just to, when the Street Wolves comes out, everyone likes it because I'm having a lot of fun making it. So.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
What it reminds me of is that old arcade game Outrun. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's what... So there's Synthwave and then Outrun. The Outrun aesthetic is kind of named after that game. Yeah,
exactly.
I was tempted to buy the 1UP version. They made a smaller version of it where you could buy and play it at home, but I just couldn't afford it. So,
well, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much, Paul Vincent from Table Cat Games.
And we will catch you next time. Hopefully in 2 weeks when we'll be talking about the new Star Anvil project.
That's exciting.
It should be. Yeah, they're doing a Savage Worlds version of Secret World. And Russ is heavily involved. So
I'm glad mine's ending before yours starts.
Again, I am a backer. I'm very proud and excited to see what comes out.
I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. Everybody have a good Saturday night. We'll catch you next time on Wild, Wild, Wild Cards. There's an awkward moment before we're off.